and all the earth will shout your praise.
Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, insuring East Tennesseans for over 55 years. From your home to the nursing home and everything in between, for a no-obligation personalized quote, Bob Johnson Insurance can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888 RX for Stat.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Is the latest ceasefire good or bad? And for whom? Here's what's not good: the number of mass shootings, the proliferation of hatred towards the Jews, and the groaning of the earth. But we do have some good news that started off bad. And when the news can be both happy and sad, you know it's the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, October 3rd, 2025. You can listen or watch any of our episodes. You can share them with your friends. You can read the articles we talk about, and you can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question. All those things when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net, or just grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who joined a support group for antisocial behavior 5 years ago, but they've yet to have their first meeting, and that's Pastor Mark, who just this morning was walking down the street when he was suddenly hit by a violin, and then a clarinet, and then a French horn. He thinks it was an orchestrated attack.
Yes, indeed. I thought you were going to say it had to do with violins.
Oh, okay.
That violins would, in the streets.
Yes, violins in the street. Violins in the street. That would work, too. That would work, too.
No, that was good.
Yes.
That was good.
Well, you know, speaking of violins in the street, we've got violins all over the world, and yeah. You want to talk about what's fueling it and what we as the body of Christ can do.
Yeah, you know, the Bible says, Greg, the violence will increase. No pun intended, in the last days. And one of the things I'm seeing is that, you know, again, God's word is always true, but Satan is really turning up the heat, which, again, shows to me all the more I believe we are in the last days. There's so many signs that we're in the last days. Things that are happening now that have never happened in world history and couldn't happen in world history. For example, just Israel being back in the land. This is the first time, you know, we're the first generation where Israel's been back in the lands in 2,000 years. So until that happened, the end couldn't really happen, even though a lot of people predicted that it would, and we're not predicting a day. But I do believe we're living in the last days, and I think that Satan is getting desperate. And we're seeing him throw more and more. And a lot of the things that the Bible predicts will be happening in the last days is Satan stirring things. And that's exactly what we see happening right now. Satan stirring things and making things worse. You know, it's interesting, Greg. I was thinking about this topic we're going to talk about. And when you go back to the garden, the first thing Satan did was he tried to overtake God, to change God's plan. He goes to Adam and Eve, you know, don't worry, you won't die. What God says is not true. Of course, he denies God's word. And he does all that, but there's an agenda behind it. It's not just the denial of God's word. It's to change God's plan. God has a plan for mankind and what he wants to do with the world and all that. And Satan tried to change it. Now, he can't change it, but he certainly caused great pain and suffering for thousands of years for mankind because we bought into it. And he's still doing that today. And it's interesting. Everything God says is going to happen happens. And the Lord said that Satan's going to meet his demise. He's going to eventually be thrown into the lake of fire. He's going to be defeated. All that's going to happen. He can't stop it. But if you were Satan and you knew that you weren't able to stop things up to this point and you knew what your future was, if I realized right now that my future was the lake of fire and I had supernatural power to try to fight some, I would fight. Now, again, you're going to lose, but I would try to fight. And so that's where Satan is, I believe, in the days in which we're living. He knows that he's headed to the lake of fire. He's trying to change God's word and stop God's word. And if he can prevent certain things from happening, then he believes he can prevent the end result from taking place. And one of the things that's really on my heart, again, I keep talking about this. I think one of the greatest battles we're going to have right now in our days until the rapture of the church is Satan turning God's own people against him by getting him to turn against Israel and lying to the church and the world to get the world to turn against Israel and to pretend that God's promises for Israel no longer stand and then to thwart God's plan. Because think about this, if he can turn the whole world against Israel and destroy the Jews, well, then that kind of, the Bible says that all these things have to take place with the nation of Israel in the last days before Satan's thrown into the lake of fire. And if he can stop that from happening, then he, theoretically, would not be thrown in the lake of fire because that has to happen first. And so, for example, when it talks about God restoring the nation of Israel in the last days and pouring out his spirit on the nation of Israel in the last days and all these things God's going to do, if Satan can stop that or kill them all, then God can't fulfill his promises to the nation of Israel and therefore theoretically could stop God's plan and stop God from judging him. Now, he's not going to be able to do that. That's going to be impossible. But I think we see a lot of the attacks against Israel are just Satan attacking, but we don't think about the fact that he's trying to literally change the course of eternity and thwart God's word. And with the promises God has given to Israel, if he could kill them all and get everybody to hate them, theoretically that could be done. Again, it's going to fail. But I want to look at some scriptures here, maybe even Romans chapter 11 here in just a moment. But this whole worldwide turning on Israel, the Bible predicted, Jesus said this would happen in the last days. And sadly, even portions of the church are now turning against the nation of Israel. And I want to first point out where I think the reason this is happening, especially among the church, the world, this is an easy one. The world makes their decisions based off of emotions and their perception of truth. So take those two factors, the emotions and their perception of truth. Oftentimes, our perception of truth is very, very wrong. For example, the accusation against the Jews in Gaza, they're committing genocide, they say. And yet, the population, according to the U.S. Department of Statistics, the population in Gaza has grown since the October 7th confrontation began. So they've actually increased in number. They've not lessened in number. That's the opposite of a genocide. We talked last week as well about, they say they're starving them to death, okay? No, there's been 1 ton per person of food go in to Gaza since this started. That's plenty of food for every man, woman, and child that's there, a ton apiece. And they have enough to share with each other and then more. So why this perception? Because in the media, Satan controls the media for the most part, and he's telling everybody there's a genocide and they're starving them. So these are lies that are being continually perpetuated. And as Hitler said, if you tell a lie long enough, people begin to believe it. So that's why Satan was trying to, he's the father of lies. He told the lies in the garden. He's still telling lies today and trying to use that to turn people against the nation of Israel. And then Jesus warned us in Matthew 24, that's what would happen, that all nations, everybody would end up hating them at the very end. So the reason you're seeing so many people turn, and even within the church, is based off of emotion. I want to make an appeal before we even get into Romans 11. I want to make an appeal to our listeners. Don't let your emotions drive what you're thinking. Because oftentimes, think back in your life, has there ever been things that have happened that you got really angry about and made a decision on, only to find out later you were completely wrong because you've been fed wrong information? That's happened to every one of us. There's not a person listening right now that couldn't say, yes, that's happened to me. So that's happening with Israel right now. They are not going in. They're simply trying to kill those who killed them on October 7th and get rid of Hamas that wants to destroy them continually and will till they die so they can live in peace in their land. They're doing the same thing that we would do as Americans if it was us. There is no genocide. The statistics are showing that's a lie, but most people don't do their homework to find out. There's no famine. That's the statistics show that's not true. And even the attack rate was interesting. They're saying, well, they won't let just indiscriminate. They should let any truck or vehicle that shows up, they should just let them in. You know, they've already found hidden weapons in many of the shipments trying to get in. If you just did that, they would take so many weapons of war in that this thing would go on much longer and be much worse. Yeah. You know, this flotilla that came in, the Greta flotilla, I'm sure that most of our listeners know about, where she's the second time now, all these people, these boats coming in together, and they said, we're bringing all these supplies in for Israel, I mean, for the Gaza. We want to bring them because they're starving. We want to do this and all. And everybody knew it was a political stunt. So they stopped them from coming in. I saw one of the funniest videos yesterday. Maybe you saw this, Greta Thunberg. She was on there saying, you know, if you're seeing this video, I've been taken captive by the Israeli military, and please make an appeal to my government to set us free. Like somehow Israel's going to keep her. And it's this whole ridiculous thing, right? And then this guy came on from Sweden as well. I don't know what their accent is for sure, but I'll use the same one. So don't mock me out there if you know the Swedish accent, but it was something like that. I'm just trying to go by the way she was talking. And he comes out and goes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you did notice and you did see that video from Greta Thunberg, if you've seen that, by this time, know that the military of Israel has taken her captive. And so I make an appeal to you as well. Please keep her. Do not let her go. We're tired of her here. We don't want her here anymore. Please don't release her. And I was laughing so hard. I was like, it was great.
That's funny.
But now get this. So their big thing, right? We're going in to bring food for these starving people. So they confiscated all these boats coming in. They've taken them. There's something like 30 some boats or something. Guess what they found out when they went on these boats and searched them? Guess what was on the boats?
Weapons.
No.
Oh.
Nothing.
Really?
They were empty.
Wow.
They had no supplies, no food,
so
no medical.
So it was just a stunt.
It was all a lie and a stunt.
Wow.
And the world right now, I guarantee you, the majority of the world doesn't know
this. Doesn't even know it because...
Most of our listeners right now are shocked. They're going, what? We didn't know that. You know why? Because you're not going to the right news sources. You're not going and seeing the actual videos of them going on the boats and going and saying, we want to show you. Here's the inside of the boat. I mean, it's absurd. And so there are so many lies that surround Israel, and it's truly demonic and it's satanic.
Wow. Pastor Mark, before you get into the scriptures, let me ask you a question. Do you think that the enemy's first... strategy was, and this is regarding how the church is being duped into believing the lies about Israel, because Satan has been successful at attacking the truth or the veracity of God's word. And if he's successful to get the church to believe that, well, God's word's not true, or just some of it's true, would you say that that does not give way to thinking that, well, we have to look at the Bible now allegorically versus expositionally, and if we do that, then we can make up our own minds what's true about Israel and all of those things?
Yes, Greg, that is such an important point that I think is pivotal to all of this. If we do not take God's word literally, we have no chance of all staying on target. Here's the bottom line. If you can say, well, for example, you talked about trying to deny God's word, okay? Think about Genesis, okay? You come in and there's so many things in Genesis that they quote that science has proven wrong, which, by the way, if you do your homework, that's a lie. Science has proven nothing. The more I've studied the science of what the Bible says, the Bible proves to be more and more accurate. But until you do your homework, you don't know that. And so we're intimidated by these guys that are called professors, or they have these big letters behind their name or whatever. The bottom line is that then what the church did when they came out and supposedly said things of the Bible were proven not true, which is a false statement, then you have to allegorize it, because you either say, okay, reject the Bible or allegorize it. Well, we're not going to reject the Bible. We're Christians. So therefore, that must mean we can't take the Bible literally, so we have to allegorize it, okay? Now, that's like even like the 6 days of creation. People are afraid to say, yes, I believe that God did it in 6 days, because they think, oh, I'll look foolish. Science has proved that wrong. Science has proven nothing. Nothing of the sort. Let me just say this. For those of you that don't believe God's literally on the 6 days of creation, the Bible says after each day, it was evening and morning and the next day, evening and morning and the next day, evening and morning. What that means is this one, I'm going to give you one example of so many I could give you that would show that you've been deceived. That would mean there had to be millions of years of dark and then millions of years of light. And then for the second day, millions of years of dark and millions of years of light. And then for the third day, millions of years of dark and millions of years of light. You get where I'm going. You can't turn the sun on, off, on, off, on, off. And you don't need the sun till the fourth day because, again, the rotation of the earth is what mattered. There wasn't even the, you didn't need it for the vegetation and all those things until later. And I think that very possibly I heard something wonderful the other day that I think is a great point. It might be that God delayed the sun being created later so that people wouldn't worship it. And yet people still worship it today, and they worshiped it throughout history. No, God is the creator. And so here's what happens. If you believe these lies that you're told, that we've proven that God's word is not true, then you have to allegorize it. At that point, everything in the Bible can be allegorized and nothing's taken seriously. And if you don't take it literally and you allegorize, Greg, everybody can say they have the right interpretation. You've got literally millions of interpretations on everything. Nobody could ever really know what God said.
Now you've got spiritual Israel and you've got this Israel and that Israel, and no wonder the church is turning against Israel.
It is genius by Satan. I have to applaud his evil. He's genius. He's evil, but he's not dumb. Because if he can get you to think, okay, well, we can't take the Bible literally, so we have to change it, then we can make it mean what we want. If you take the Bible literally, Israel is Israel, and the church is the church. It could not be more clear. But if you allegorize it, that's right. We now can't take the Bible literally. So we're going to allegorize this and say, it didn't really mean that. It really means that really the church is now Israel. Yeah, that's it. The church is now Israel because we can't take it literally. And so when did that happen? Give me a minute. When they rejected the Messiah. When they rejected the Messiah, God rejected them. Where's that in the Bible? Well, it doesn't exactly say that, but the meaning is clear if you understand where I'm coming from, because they rejected him, so therefore he's going to reject them. And so what about all the future promises for the nation of Israel? Well, they've now become the promises for the church. So you're telling me that God's going to take all the church to the land of Israel in the last days, and we're all going to live there in Israel, and in Jerusalem we'll be there, as Zechariah says, watching the Lord come back in the second coming. That's the church? Well, no, you don't have to really go that far with it. But it just means that we are now the church. No, here's the bottom line. If we're now Israel, we have to be there, as it says in Zechariah, in Jerusalem, watching the Lord come back in the second coming. If we are Israel, we need to be gathered back to the land of Israel. If we are Israel, again, it's absurd. And yet, because we don't take the Bible literally, we're off on these rabbit trails. The only way you can say, here's what God said, is to take it literally what he said. He said this, that's what he means. Now, we may not be 100% accurate on all interpretations at every moment. I get that. But at the same time, that's a very small percentage of disagreement compared to this plethora of all these different viewpoints, because we're not taking the word of God literally. Just take the book of Revelation. If you don't take it literally, and what I mean by literally is, yes, it uses pictures and symbols. But all of those pictures and symbols can be found in the Old Testament. And if you simply plug them in to the book of Revelation, it reads like a normal book very wonderfully. The only reason John wrote it that way is to get it past the Roman guards, because they would destroy anything that fought against Rome. So he had to use code. But all the church knew the code. They knew their Bibles in that day. They knew that the woman with the 12 stars represented the nation of Israel. They knew that the woman giving birth represented the Messiah. They knew that the dragon represented Satan. They knew all the symbols. So when they read it, it was as simple as a kid's book. It's like, this is easy. We get it. There's no mystery here. But because we don't know that today, we have people that freak out, it's too hard to understand. We could never grasp it. Yes, you can. Learn your Old Testament, and Revelation is easy to interpret and follow. And once you plug in the right pictures that come from the Old Testament, because it's code written by John, you take it literally.
Well, that's another lie that the church has bought, Pastor Mark. There are some sections of the church that believes that the Old Testament is just for historical reference, and they don't believe in the veracity of even the Old Testament, when Jesus himself quoted the Old Testament more than anybody.
Jesus said not one jot or tittle will pass away from the Old Testament that will not be fulfilled. You say, he didn't say the words Old Testament. Well, hold on. Well, they didn't have the New Testament yet. So what was he talking about? The Old Testament. He said, there will not be one jot or tittle. Of course, we can include the new in that. But the point is, all of his word is true. All of his word is literal. Now, with all that said, simply say this. One of my biggest concerns for the church is the turning away from the nation of Israel in the last days. And Jesus said that everybody would turn away. Guys, we've got to hold the fort. Don't base things off of emotions. And let me say this. First of all, the things you're hearing about genocide and famine are lies. You need to get sources that are in Israel that you can trust. I'm not talking about just the Jews. other sources connected to America and others that are telling the truth about what's going on, and then see what's going on for yourself so you can know and you can believe it. That's going to be your first step in understanding what's happening and not to be duped and pulled away in all this stuff. But let me just say this, just for argument's sake, God made eternal promises, he said, to the nation of Israel, not based on their obedience or disobedience. In Genesis 15, when he made the covenant with Abraham, he put him to sleep and he walked through the parts of the covenant alone. In that day, what that meant is I alone am going to keep this covenant. You have no part to keep. It's all on me, okay? Because if you both walk through, then you both had a part to keep. No. He said, it's all on me. Here's my point. For a moment, bear with me. Even if Israel was committing genocide, even if Israel was causing famine, God will not break his promise. It is conditional on him. It is unconditional on the nation of Israel. Now, they're not committing genocide or doing famine, but even if they were, it doesn't mean that God wouldn't judge them for the genocide or that God wouldn't judge them for causing famine. What it means is that God would still keep his promises, even if the lies being told about them were true. And until we understand that as believers, we're going to veer off course. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 11. Now look at this. Satan, again, I think trying to destroy the Jews to keep God from fulfilling his word. Paul now speaking of the last days, the latter days. These are the days, again, long after Jesus came. So if you think that he's done with Israel after Jesus, this is long after Jesus. Even Paul wrote this after Jesus, but it even comes to another very end. Listen to what he says. He says in Romans 11, I say then, has God cast away his people? Now, who's his people? He's not talking about the church. Listen, he gives the definition. He says, certainly not, for I also am an Israelite. So he's talking about the nation of Israel. God has not cast away his people Israel, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleaded with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I've reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise work is no longer work. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them, the Jews, at this time, a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear to this very day. And so, and David, the Bible talks about that. He says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. He says, through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation came to the Gentiles. So God is using the Gentiles, the church, now to get the Jews jealous, to bring them back, to fulfill his promises. He says, if their fall was riches for the world, that is salvation to the Gentiles, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fullness be? That when they come back in. So he goes on saying this. Look what he says. He says, for in verse 16, for the first fruits, that is the nation of Israel, is holy of God's tree. By the way, there's only one tree. God is one family tree. And the foundation and the roots and the stump are the nation of Israel. He says, if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And the root, if the root is not holy, that is the promises to Israel, so are the branches. Okay, if the root is holy, so are the branches. So God's going to keep his promise to them and to us, now Gentiles. And if some of the branches were broken off, that is Jews that rejected the Lord, and you, a Gentile, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root, which is Israel, and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches, that is those that were broken off. Don't boast against the Jews, he's saying. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, that is God's plan of one tree through the nation of Israel, but the root supports you. You're the branches, the root's Israel. Again, think about it. If you remove Israel out of this, Greg, the whole tree dies.
Yeah.
And that's the example that Paul's using here. He says, well, you say then, well, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief? Yep. The Jews that rejected were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty and proud about this, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches at that time, the Jews, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but those toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, that if the Jews can, if they repent now and come to faith, they'll be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the Jews, who are natural branches, be grafted back into their own tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, but that blindness in part has happened to Israel until, get this is huge, until the fulfillment of the Gentiles, a fullness rather than Gentiles. Now, Greg, this is huge. Theologians agree, okay, from all sides. Fullness of the Gentiles means the last saved Gentile. Okay, that's the church. Okay, so let's, with that context, this is what he says. He says they're going to be partially blinded until the last Gentile is saved. That means God has a future promise for them. Because it says until. So after the last Gentile is saved, he's going to fulfill his promise. So notice the word until. This is huge. So God's not done.
Not done, yeah.
He says, until that has come in. And so then all Israel will be saved. What he's saying is, Israel's going to be saved after the last Gentile in the church is saved. So God can't be through with Israel because they have to get saved after the church is out of here and done. You see what's happening here? This should, for those of you that say God's through with Israel and the Jews aren't the Jews, this should silence the argument. God's word is the authority, and you can't allegorize this. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, that is Jesus. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, their enemies right now, that is the Jews, they fight against us. He says, but concerning the election of the Jews, that is they've been preordained, they are beloved. We're to love them because they're going to be future family, he's saying, for the sake of the fathers. Now notice this and listen to the context of this, Greg, because I've heard this verse used a lot. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Now, that there is a true application to all of us in the gifts and calling of God. I get that. But in context, he's speaking specifically about the gifts and calling of the nation of Israel. He's saying God's promises here in context to the nation of Israel, they're irrevocable. God's not going to change his mind. He's not going to go back at the last minute and say, yep, I'm done with the Jews. He says, no, the gifts and call of the Jews, you can put that in because of context, it's irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet now obedient, but obtain mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that the mercy that is shown you may also be shown them. For God has committed them to all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all the Jews. And he says, and then he rejoices in this. Oh, the depth, the tree is going to be complete again. Jew and Gentile together is one family tree. Oh, the depth and riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. He's rejoicing. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who is first given to him, and it shall be repaid. For of him and through him and to him all things, and to whom be glory forever. Amen. So the bottom line is, look, God talks about the promises of Israel here in Romans after the last Gentile gets saved. That forces it to be the Jews are not done. God's going to complete his promise. He's not finished with them. The church has not taken the place of Israel. Israel's not taking the place of the church. It's two separate entities, but we're in one tree. Israel is the root system and the stump. If he cuts that down, then we all die because that's where we get our supply, which is the old covenant, as you talked about, and people don't even look at it. We've now been grafted in, and we need to be thankful and rejoice and not proud and say, well, God's done with the Jews. No, God's not done with the Jews, and God is going to complete his promise to the Jews, and we better be those who don't get pulled into this last day's deception of getting sucked away by Satan, of hating the Jews and turning against the Jews. Of course they're not godly. Of course they're not righteous. They're unsaved. But there's a lot of lies being told about them, and even if they are doing some things that are wrong, God will hold them accountable for what they're doing wrong, but we're still to stand with them because they're part of the elect, their future family, and we know the future, and so we're to stand with them. So, again, I put that warning out there. If you've got a friend that's struggling with this, let them listen to the first half of this broadcast. Like I said, you're going to hear me talking about this a lot because I think this is the big battle that the church is going to be facing, I think, from this point until the rapture, and that is standing with the nation of Israel.
And perfect timing for a little Israel music.
Yes.
All right, let's go to the Jerusalem Post for an article dated September 29th. Benjamin Netanyahu approves of Trump's Gaza hostage and ceasefire plan, But is this good news?
Yes, and hopefully most of our listeners, being prophecy buffs, watched what happened with Netanyahu and President Trump last week on Monday and all that happened. Trump's 20-point plan, it was 21, then it dropped down to 20 points for whatever the reason, and Netanyahu agrees with it. And here's the thing, Hamas, I don't think they're going to do it. They're already indicating they're not going to do it. But it says U.S. President Donald Trump stated that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu agreed to his 21-point plan, which, like I said, now I think is a 20-point, to create peace in Gaza following a meeting at the White House on Monday. Trump said that the U.S. would be involved in Israel's security after the ceasefire agreement. The president said that if his deal were accepted by Hamas, all the hostages living and dead would be released almost immediately. Trump intends to end the war itself and said that he was hearing that Hamas wants to get this done. Again, I do not believe it.
So they were lying.
Well, again, that's Satan's a liar and the father of lies, and that's all that's been coming out of there. He also stated that during his meeting with Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister clearly stated his opposition to a Palestinian state. Trump slammed other countries that had foolishly recognized a Palestinian state that doesn't even exist. And if Hamas rejects the deal, he said, I'm quoting here, if Hamas rejects the deal, which is always possible, there's only one left. Everyone else has accepted it, but I have a feeling that we're going to have a positive answer, he said. But if not, as you know, Bibi, and speaking now, President Trump speaking to Bibi Netanyahu, as you know, Bibi, you have our full backing to do what you would do. You're the greatest friend that Israel's ever had, Bibi said, and so not even close. So what he said basically was, look, if they reject this deal, then you can go in there and finish the job. And if they don't want the deal accepted, Greg, you know, the job's going to get finished. By the way, for those who would say that Israel's committing genocide, what nation that's having genocide committed against them would reject a peace deal when they could all be saved? It just proves the fact they're not having genocide committed. They still want to fight. They don't want peace with Israel. They want Israel destroyed. And that's why they've got to be destroyed and removed.
All right, let's head to the Times of Israel for an article dated September 30th that was a poll, apparently. After 2 years of war, U.S. public is backing the Palestinians over Israel for the first time. Oh, how short our memories are.
Well, this is terrifying,
yes.
But it's also predictable because every time in recent years that somebody's done something horrible against the nation of Israel, people support them at first. And then Satan starts working the system and gets the wheels turning. And by the time you get a little bit down the road, now everybody's turning against Israel. How in the world you could stand with Hamas and against Israel when Hamas started this, came in and killed over 1,200 people in just a moment of time, raping, killing babies, doing horrible things to people. How you could turn that to somehow against Israel is shocking to me.
Hamas literally means terror. You are siding with terror. You are wanting terror. We were talking about this before the show.
Yes, we were. And let me just, again, remind our listeners, because we have new ones all the time. Let's put this in perspective if this happened in America. Okay, if you take the same percentages of the number of people, this is how it would have been on a percentage of America if this kind of attack took place. Okay? It would be as if 40,000 people, that terrorists came across our southern border and killed 40,000 of our men, women, and children in a moment of time, raping, murdering our babies, cutting their heads off, 40,000. And then suddenly we decide to go and attack those terrorists. And what do you think we would do? We would brutally destroy them. And everybody in America would say, right on. You better believe you don't mess with America that way. But if Israel does it, oh, they're horrible. Everyone else has a right to defend themselves, but the nation of Israel. It's absurd.
Yes.
Anyway, it says support for Israel has plummeted in the U.S. after nearly 2 years of war in Gaza, according to a poll released on Monday. The poll by the New York Times and Siena University said that more respondents backed the Palestinians over Israel for the first time since the survey began questioning them in 1998. Immediately after October 7th, Hamas invasion, Israel, 47% of respondents backed Israel compared to 20% that backed the Palestinians. How anybody could have backed Palestinians at all? I don't get it. Anyway,
I know.
In Monday's survey, 35% supported Palestinians, 34% Israel. It actually is more people supporting the murderers than the nation defending itself. A slight majority of 51% opposed the U.S. providing economic and military support to Israel, while 39% were in favor. And here's the scary thing. The next generation is getting lost, Greg. That's why we've got to be vocal and push back on this. Among 18 to 29-year-olds, 61% backed the Palestinians over Israel. Among Democrats, 54% sided with the Palestinians and 13% with Israel. So first of all, 61% backed Palestinians, but then among Democrats, 54%. So the point is, we're seeing a shift here where I think it's a lack of understanding the truth and what's going on. And the younger generation, they're responding by the lies they're seeing and hearing in the media, and they're responding by their emotions. They don't realize that Israel's defending themselves, that these are lies that are happening, and they're doing the same thing that any one of us would do to protect our own people around us if we were being attacked by terrorists. And so that is it's a terrifying thing to see where we're going. But again, remember, Jesus predicted. That's why I say, Christian, listen to me. Don't fall into this trap. Jesus predicted the entire world turning against Israel in the last days, except for his people. We should not fall for this. We're to stand with them to the very end because they are the elect. They are future brothers and sisters. That's why we stand with them, not because they're doing everything right. They may be doing things wrong. God will deal with them on that, as I said. But we stand with them because of the promises of God. Don't get pulled into the crowd that's going against the nation of Israel.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who's helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAMLP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 383, which is less stressful to listen to than reading an IKEA instruction manual with two missing screws. And now,
you've got mail.
All right, Pastor Mark, we've got one question this week, and it comes by way of Matt, who enjoys Signs of the Times right here in Knoxville. And his question is regarding AI and Genesis 11:6. His question goes as such, is how does Genesis 11:6 fit within the current context of the oncoming of artificial general intelligence and then eventually artificial superintelligence, which will exceed human knowledge and capabilities? In the original context with the Tower of Babel, God put a stop to it before they got to that point. Do you believe God will again bring the rapture and tribulation and second coming before we get to the point of having artificial superintelligence? Or will he allow it to happen this time around in order to be used as a tool for the end times prophecies to be fulfilled?
I think great question, number one, Matt, but I think yes and no. I think both of these are true, and let me explain why. I think that God is going to allow artificial intelligence to advance to a certain point. So yes, it will advance to a certain point. Man's going to use it, and I think it very well might be part of the technology of the image that the Antichrist sets up on the Temple Mount at the 3.5-year point in the nation of Israel that it talks about in Revelation. So I do believe you're going to see artificial intelligence go to a certain point. But the part where I think it's going to stop, so there's a balance here. I don't think God's going to let it get to the point to where, again, the entire world, well, I know for a fact, where the entire world is destroyed. Many of the fears that, and Elon Musk being one of them, they've said about artificial intelligence, is they believe that eventually the artificial intelligence will take over and destroy mankind because it will reason that we are the problem, that we're in the way, that it can't advance like it needs to. So if we get identified as the enemy, then the systems of the world being controlled by that will start turning on us and actually trying to exterminate mankind. So obviously we know by revelation and by the word of God, we're going to be here till the end. Now the rapture will take place, then there's going to be the great tribulation. So many people die, billions actually will die, but that's going to be by God's wrath, not by artificial intelligence. So God's not going to allow artificial intelligence to come to a place to where it wipes out mankind, yet he is going to allow it to be used in the last days as knowledge will increase, I think, prophetically. And I think there's also has to be an application there. I would think there's an application to artificial intelligence because of what we see happening in the world. But this is another reason that I believe we're in the very last days. You know, people say, well, why have people been saying that for generations? Why do you believe that now? Look, how much longer can the world go with artificial intelligence now kicking in? And the way the threats of artificial intelligence taking over the world's systems and maybe even trying to exterminate mankind, Greg, by turning the nukes on, for example, and destroying people by nuclear weapons, that's one of their concerns and fears. God has to intervene. So yes, I believe God's going to intervene before we get to that point. I think the first intervention will be the rapture of the church, and then he's going to be intervening by his own wrath and judgment, and then he's going to intervene by his second coming and to rule and reign. So the answer to it's a great question, Matt, but I would say the answer is yes and yes and no and no. You know, yes, artificial intelligence is going to continue. Is God going to let it go to where it goes so far that it destroys mankind? No. So both are going to be in play. I think it is going to be used in the last days, but God's going to put limiters on it.
All right, if you've got a question like Matt, it's real easy. You just go to thewaymedia.net, click on Signs of the Times. You can see where you can send Pastor Mark your prophecy question, or you can read our frequently asked questions as well, because we might have already answered what is on your mind. All right, as Signs of the Times rolls on, we will get into some growing anti-Semitism, also known as Jew hate. Kind of talked about that at the beginning of our program. Our first article is from the Jerusalem Post, dated September 25th. Jewish resilience is fading amid the rise in anti-Semitism. And this is truly discouraging.
It is. I understand it. And
yes,
human nature.
Absolutely.
And before I even read the article, look, I think, you know, Greg, God is breaking down the people of Israel as a nation to receive their Messiah. You know,
yeah.
I tell our people this on a regular basis. Look, those of you listening out there who know the Lord, God broke you down, most of you. Some of you maybe gave your life without being broken down. You were raised in a Christian home. Praise the Lord for that. But many of us had to be broken down and defeated before we would turn to Christ because I can do it, you know, and this kind of thing. And we find out we can't. Israel has always been, I can do it. We're self-dependent. We don't need anybody. We're strong. We're tough. I think God is now allowing them to collapse and their lives to fall apart and their nation to fall apart as the whole world turns against them, to bring them to that place of the broken person that receives Christ. But this is a broken nation. And they're going to receive Christ as a whole when he pours out his spirit. I think their breaking point is going to be when Iran and Russia come against them, as it talks about in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And they're going to realize, we're done. We're done. We give up. God, if you don't rescue us, we have no hope. And God's going to intervene and rescue them. He will be their savior. He will be their hero, even as he was our savior and our hero. It says an annual, but that's what's happening to him. The report says an annual report on international anti-Semitism presented on Thursday warned that the phenomenon has reached levels unseen in decades and is eroding Jewish resilience, this phenomenon of hating the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
This is a troubling and alarming report with many challenges, definitely following October 7th and the impact of Jewish communities over all the world, said Israeli President Isaac Herzog as the Jewish People Policy Institute's report was presented to him in Jerusalem. The report described a resurgence of anti-Semitism that is deeper, ideologically driven, and more socially acceptable than at any time since the Holocaust.
Mm.
So in other words, they're being hated more than they ever have since the Holocaust. And we're at places now you thought would never be back. I mean, Greg, I'm seeing cartoons that remind me of the Holocaust.
Wow.
I don't know if you've been seeing these, but I have. You know, there was one the other day that Gavin Newsom out of California, he did a cartoon of President Trump being led by Steve Miller, who's Jewish, and he had an extra long nose drawn on him. How they make the nose, they make it look real Jewish,
mm-hmm.
and was leading the president on a leash. Again, that was the whole thing that Hitler used to do, saying the Jews are controlling the world. The Jews are in control of everything. It's the same kind of imagery, but what nonsense.
If the Jews were controlling the world, then there would be no hatred exhibited against the Jews.
What a great point. How could everybody be hating the Jews if the Jews are running things? But let me say this. There are about 20 million Jews in the world. There are almost 8 billion people now. Are you telling me that 20 million, 20-some million people are controlling 8 billion? Yes, that's what I'm saying. Well, then you're foolish. You're just foolish. It doesn't work that way. Anyway, it says, according to the authors, anti-Semitic attitudes have moved from the margins of society into mainstream institutions, leaving Jews increasingly vulnerable. The personal consequences are stark. And I quote, Jewish students are harassed and excluded on campuses, synagogues vandalized, individuals assaulted or even killed in ideologically motivated attacks. Alongside physical threats, Israel faces an unprecedented campaign of international delegitimization. Absolutely they do. The world turning against them. The report pointed to the International Criminal Court's arrest warrants for Israeli leaders and genocide charges filed against Israel at the International Court of Justice, which now have been shown to be statistically nonsense. So people are believing these lies, and how do you combat these lies and the fervor that gets built? Again, you go back to World War II and you see the lies against the Jews and the fervor that was built against the Jews and all these things. They're killing children, they're eating them, they're drinking their blood. What? It reminds me of the early church. You know, when the early church would meet, Greg, they would have these agape feasts. Agape means love.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that were poor wouldn't have as much. They'd come up. We call it today a potluck. They'd bring a lot of food in. They'd celebrate.
Yeah.
They would eat together. They'd worship. They'd praise. They'd have a wonderful time. But the world, not understanding the language, agape love, and Satan stirring them, they said, well, they're cannibalizing. They're eating people. They're having agape feasts. And they're eating. And it's like, It's unbelievable. I remember when the you know, again, I keep going back to the Calvary Chapel movement when it first started. They were saying there's naked people in the trees. And I'm like, there were so many lies about what Pastor Chuck was doing in California. Now, in California, I could believe there could be that could be happening, but it wasn't in Calvary Chapel. But either way, recognize Satan will take miscommunication and he twists it and uses demonic influence. And then we have the mess we have today. It's only going to get worse for the nation of Israel, but God is breaking them down. He's allowing this to bring them to salvation.
All right, our next article comes from the Jerusalem Post, dated September 30th, and it's telling us that X, formerly Twitter, is among most effective tools for spreading anti-Semitism. Well, and we can't be surprised. All of social media is just it's like anything else. It started off good and it went bad.
Yeah, it's a massive social platform. So again, it's going to be used
where people
by the
can
enemy.
Hide behind keyboards.
Yeah, and Satan's going to use it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So Twitter, X/Twitter, has become one of those effective tools for spreading anti-Semitism in history. A report from the Center Countering Digital Hate and the Jewish Council of Public Affairs has revealed the two organizations conducted a year-long investigation into anti-Semitic content on X using AI tools, specifically OpenAI and GPT-4. They unveiled systematic failures in content moderation, as well as a platform amplification of anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, and the rise of influential, often monetized accounts spreading anti-Jewish hate to a large audience. The research identified 679,584 anti-Semitic posts between February 1st of 2024 and January 31st of 2025, which combined reviewed 193 million times. See, you can reach the world with hate like this in an
instant.
Yeah.
Wow.
Moreover, the report stated that X has become the go-to platform for anti-Semitic posters. According to research, X makes it easy to monetize on anti-Semitic content and reach millions of viewers. So, again, like you said, Greg, anything that technology can be used for good or bad, and it can be used for great things if it's good things, but if it's bad things, it can be used for bad things. I go back to the AI. If you could keep AI only to be used for good things, it could be wonderful for mankind. But when you realize AI can also be used to hate God and to thwart God, try to thwart God's plan, Satan's going to use it that way. And so, again, this is a place where a medium that should be used in a good way is being used in a very horrible way.
All right, as we look at some pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption, this comes from Breitbart.com. You've probably seen it all over the news, though. Dated October 2nd, scores of people dead after a 6.9 magnitude earthquake in the Philippines.
Yeah, again, remember Matthew, Jesus told us in Matthew 24, you're going to see at the very end, not just earthquakes, they've always been around, but a great increase and with great intensity. He spoke of it as a woman in sorrows or a woman in birth pangs. And just as a reminder, if you go back and look historically, because you know people try to say, well, we can monitor earthquakes better now, so we're just seeing them better. No. We're talking about massive earthquakes that you don't need some type of computer to tell you it just happened. These were happening about once every 10 years, something this large, you know, close to a 7-point earthquake. That was happening about once every 10 years up until really the late 1900s, as far as recorded history. You had them very rarely. In the late 1900s, they started happening multiple times in 10 years there. I mean, the last 10 or 15 years, you were an unbelievable amount. Now we've had, good grief, I think we had more between 2000 and 2010 that were massive earthquakes like this, Greg. We had more of them in that 10-year span than we did the entire 1900s, if I'm not mistaken. It's gone off the charts. This is what Jesus said to watch for, again, which I believe is another sign of the times. It says at least 72 people have been killed and more than 200 others injured after a 6.9 magnitude earthquake struck the central Philippines on Tuesday night. On Wednesday, army troops, police, civilian volunteers, and sniffer dogs went house to house to search for survivors. Half of the deaths were reported to have been in Bogo, a city home around 90,000 residents, officials said. The death toll, however, is reportedly expected to rise. It always does. They come out with the initial report, and then, of course, it rises, sadly.
Once they find people.
Yeah. Saying that sporadic rain as well as damaged bridges and roads have been obstructing their efforts to quickly save lives. So, you know, again, let me just remind our listeners, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said there will be, and this is in verse 7, there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. These are the beginning of birth pangs. And so, again, remember, always had earthquakes, always had wars, always had pestilence and famine. The difference is, it's like a woman who's pregnant. There's going to be contractions that are happening more often. There are going to be larger contractions. And you're going to see them, you know, again, in just a greater frequency and intensity. That's what we're going to be seeing in the last days. So you're going to see a lot more of this kind of stuff. You know, it's interesting, Greg, as I think about this, and we've discussed this before on the program. There's certain areas in the country you can live that you expect certain natural disasters. Mm-hmm. And you can see how these things could happen, you know, how disasters could happen. California, they've always had earthquakes, right? And you've got, you know, these other areas where maybe they're next to a, you know, Mount St. Helens type thing, you know, whatever. And that was far enough away from civilization, didn't hurt people too bad. But the point is, something that could happen that would affect the people. I've always thought, what's going to happen here? You know, you've got in the Midwest, you got all the tornadoes that are always happening and these things. And so what's going to happen here? Well, again, you're going to see, I think, flooding. You're going to see, and we had an earthquake that we all felt here in the past year that was quite shocking to us. I mean, it sounded like a bomb going off.
Yeah.
And you know, you're going to see more of that. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a much larger and maybe even more than one earthquakes in our area. The reason I say that, many people don't realize that we are on a pretty major fault line.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it's one that's been kind of dormant for a long time, but we are on a fault line. And the Bible says in Romans 22 that the earth will be groaning in the last days for the return of the Lord. And so I think as you see that groaning, you're going to see more and more things happening that are going to be connected to this. By the way, and I don't know why we don't have an article, I thought of this just now, I want to mention it because I see we have the time, I can mention it. Maybe some of you saw the Pope blessing a big chunk of ice yesterday or day before. I don't know how many saw that. You know, when President Trump came out at the UN and he said, look, this big climate thing's, it's a hoax. It's everybody's taking everybody's money. It's not, he was kind of shot down climate stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And so right afterwards then, the Pope and some others in Europe, because they're big proponents of all this, they came out with the Pope to do a blessing on nature, a blessing on water, and to have the blessing on the waters of the earth. They got this huge chunk of ice. I'm not quite sure what that represented other than just water, and it was something they could place there. But, you know, they had him, Arnold Schwarzenegger was there, you know, he's a big proponent of the climate stuff.
Is he really?
Yeah. And they had this big kind of worship service almost where the Pope comes out and he kind of gave a blessing on the waters, and they throw Christ in there a couple times to make it sound, you know, like
sound official. Yeah.
And then they have these people that kind of, you know, dressed wearing weirdo kind of earthy things.
Of course.
And then they have this fake water thing where, you know, Schwarzenegger's from others, they're kind of moving the waters like they represent the waters being. And it was this kind of weird, you're going to see more and more of this kind of earth. Basically what it says in Romans 1.
Earth worship.
Yeah, earth worship. In Romans 1, it says again, when people turn away from God, they begin to worship the earth. They worship creation. And so you're going to see more and more of this. This whole thing about if we believe God's word and trust it in the Lord, we're always to be good stewards with everything God gives us, and that includes the planet. I get that. But God tells us he's going to hold all things together till the very end. Jesus said in Colossians chapter 1, Jesus said that, or Paul said about Jesus, he holds all things together by his power. So what he's saying is, relax. It doesn't mean we throw trash out in the streets and dump all the pollution we can. I get that. But relax. God has given the earth and all things richly to enjoy. God's going to hold all things together and all things in place until the Lord returns. And then he's going to restore everything. So everybody just relax. I love that old picture. Even after the Great Tribulation, where you see the earth being destroyed by the judgments of God, that beautiful vision of the waters flowing from the southern side of the temple and going down to the Mediterranean and healing all the oceans of the world and the seas. And you see it going down to the Dead Sea and healing the Dead Sea. And Greg, this is something I got to say this, because we still have time for another article, so I can get this in.
Okay.
Listen, I've been to Israel now 16 times. It wasn't until the 14th trip, and maybe actually the 15th trip, this was pointed out to me. Only the last two times it's ever been pointed out, I've never noticed it. It talks about the waters flowing from the southern side of the Temple Mount and going down there. And I was like, well, how's the water going to get down there? I figured it'll just work its way down through a valley. Maybe God will create some new path, and that it would maybe hit the Jordan and then from the Jordan go on into the Dead Sea. That's always how I visualized it, right? No. It's not going to touch the Jordan at all. It's going to go down the Kidron Valley, because that's the valley right there where the water comes out. And I never realized this till it was shown to us. As we're driving by the Dead Sea on the trip before the last one, our guide points to this great giant chasm in this valley right there next to the Dead Sea. He goes, that, my friends, is the end of the Kidron Valley. You can walk that all the way up to the Temple Mount. And I was like, he's a believer. And I said, wait a minute. That means that when the waters flow out from the southern side of the temple, they're simply going to run right down the Kidron, you know, where the vision of that Ezekiel had. And he's walking, it's getting deeper as he went. And these huge waters are going to come down, and they're going to just pour right into the Dead Sea and bring it to life. And that's where it's going to happen. He said, that's it. And I was looking at them going, this wow. is going to be the flow of the waters from the temple that are going to restore the Dead Sea and again, go to the other oceans. It was so exciting to see it. And you see this stuff and you visualize. By the way, when you go to Israel, your faith does not wane because you question things like, well, I wonder about the Bible. No, you see the Bible is exactly true. You can stand on it literally, as we said. It comes to life and you come back excited, fired up, and ready to go again. What an amazing trip. And again, just I picture right now, I can see that the Kidron Valley right now, the water's flowing down, and us as believers down there on the boats, skiing, fishing, rejoicing, celebrating with the Lord, and going up to Jerusalem to have wonderful meals up there, and just, I can't wait. It's going to be a wonderful time, and I just had to share that. But anyway, there we go.
Well, that's good news.
And now more good news.
All right, this is from Fox News, dated September 28th. This is being called, I guess, the Charlie Kirk effect is driving a religious revival, including mass attendance and Bible reading.
You know, it really is, Greg. I am seeing young people. We noticed even here at the Fellowship at Calvary, some new young people showing up I've never seen before. And this happened right after the execution, the martyrdom of Charlie Kirk. And I know that to those that hated his message, they wanted to silence him. Again, a lot of people try to take, you know, Charlie Kirk, yes, he was very active politically, and they try to look at it as a political thing. And no doubt there was some influence there. I can't deny that. But this was, I believe, based on his stand on the Word of God, because the ones that were killing him and the person that killed him, it was this trans young man that we're talking about that killed him. It was his stand, Charlie Kirk's stand on the Bible against male and female and the two genders. That's what drove this young man to execute and to assassinate Charlie mm-hmm. Kirk. So this was a biblically motivated assassination. And as I've said before, God has never wasted the blood of a martyr. Whenever the blood of a martyr is shed, there's always a great result. And we're already seeing there's been multiple salvations recorded all over the United States and around the world. This is only the beginning of it. And like I said, Charlie Kirk's, he's going to be much more effective in ministry and death than he was in life. And this is, again, this article bears that out. Calvary Chapel of Chino Hills, Pastor Jack Hibbs of California, a friend and a great guy, told Fox News First this week that Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA, helped many young Americans find their purpose. And the pastor is seeing a tangible results. And I quote Jack, "People are coming to us. They are saying, I want to know the meaning of life, the purpose. Why am I here?" Hibbs recounted. Many across the country agree Kirk's tragic assassination in Utah on September 10th, after his years of outreach to young people about faith, family, the values, and the country, has sparked a religious revival, with scores of non-believers picking up a Bible for the first time. It has been dubbed the Charlie Kirk effect. Now, I don't want to throw water on this. Don't misunderstand me. God has used it, is going to use it, and is going to use it in greater ways. Will it be a true biblical revival? Only time will tell. Is it going to be just a spiritual stirring that has great fruit, or will it be a biblical revival? Again, we are yet to see that. I hope so. We need it badly. Matt Zerusen, co-founder of Newman Ministry, a Catholic nonprofit organization that supports over 200 campus ministries nationwide, said he's seen an increase in student faith engagement. As a matter of fact, Greg, they're saying that there's been like tens of thousands of new chapters that are popping up.
Turning Point.
Yes, yeah. In colleges and high schools around the country because of this. And I quote, "I have not talked to anyone who has not seen an increase in the mass attendance, even in the Catholic Church." He told Catholic News Agency, some schools are reporting an increase of 15%. So you're seeing it across the board. In the Protestant and the Catholic, in every way, people are responding to what they're saying is the Charlie Kirk effect. And that is basically, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people think, well, it's going to create fear and drive people away, where you're going to get quiet and not say anything because they don't want to get shot. The opposite is happening. People are getting bold. You know, throughout the centuries, whenever there's been persecution against the church, it has grown stronger. It does the opposite for believers. It creates a boldness rather than a fear. And you're seeing that boldness be created, and you're seeing a lot of people being drawn in and a lot of questions being asked. And I would just say for those listening right now, maybe you've tuned in for the first time. Maybe a friend had you tune in. Maybe whatever the reason. Maybe it's because of what happened to Charlie Kirk. You're searching for more Christian programming, and you've stumbled across this, and maybe even prophecy things, and you've stumbled across this. Here's the question. Have you now gotten serious about the things of God? Listen, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that mankind was created by God, that Satan fell, and that Satan went to the garden where mankind was and deceived mankind, Adam and Eve, and trick them into believing that God's word wasn't true. They sinned against God, and they what we call fell into sin. Then because of that, the entire world and mankind after that has been cursed by sin. We're all born sinners, the Bible says. So how do we get to heaven now? You can't go to heaven as a sinner. You have to be born again. That means a second time. The first time was physically. Now you need to be born spiritually. How do you do that? The Bible says to solve the problem, God came to the earth in the form of a man because it had to be perfect man's blood to be spilled for mankind to pay him, to redeem him, to buy him back. So God took on human form, came to the earth in the form of Jesus Christ, allowed mankind to beat him and nail him to a cross and his blood to flow out so that his blood would cleanse our sins. And then he rose again 3 days later. And for everyone who repents of their sin, believes in Jesus, gives their life to him, the Bible says they'll be born again. And if you do that right now, right where you're hearing this, you will be saved and born again. Confess your sins. Tell Jesus you believe he died for you. Receive him as Lord and Savior. Believe that he rose from the dead, and you now will be a part of the family of God. I encourage you to do that. Do that today. The Lord's coming back soon. You don't want to miss the rapture of the church when he comes for his bride. And there's my encouragement for the listening today.
Well, Pastor Mark, that is good encouragement as always to end on. Thank you so much. And folks, thank you for listening. Don't forget, TheWayMedia.net is the place you can get all things Signs of the Times related, as well as Pastor Mark's daily radio program, Come to the Table, as well as the teaching archive library from all of the teachings here at Calvary Knoxville and our radio station 24 hours a day on WIAM. And we'll be back next Friday for more Signs of the... No, we won't. I think we might be gone. We'll see.